Today is Ephesians, the third chapter of the 21st, 21, explains what we call the Easter text. But I would like to make it relevant to the community today. My real text today would be a quote from Henry Ford, but you can't use that as a text. He was asked about the invention of a car, the invention might be available to the world. And he said, if I had asked people what they wanted faster horses. So nobody was asking for a car, they was asking for faster horses. My point is, if we had asked people what they wanted during this Passion Week, this was an exciting time in Jerusalem. Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. I'm on the We've learned to communicate with nonverbal skill, kicks under the table, and 54 years of marriage has gotten us where we know what means. It means quit doing whatever you're doing and do something else, and so gets better all the time. So Lazarus has just been raised from the dead. People are pretty excited about that. He was dead for 4 days. Jesus, last Sunday, had come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, fulfilling Scripture. Palm Sunday, the people are shouting, Hosanna, the King of Israel has come. And hopes and expectations were really running high. They took palm branches and went out to meet him. And last Sunday, churches had donkeys and people riding on them and all kinds of things. And Jesus has spent this week in the temple. He's done some marvelous things. He's overturned money tables. He's just been very visible in Jerusalem. And what people think is that he's going to throw the Romans out, basically. They were sick of Roman rule. They didn't like being slaves to Rome. They didn't like high taxes. Their economy was bad. Sounds like most governments. And they wanted a change in government. They wanted a better time on earth. And if you could have asked those people what they wanted their Messiah. He had been promised in Scripture that he would come and set them free. And Jesus is there, but as Judas found out, he's not exactly what the people wanted. They were asking for something else. What they really wanted was another 20 years, 25 years with Jesus. His disciples would have said that's what they wanted. They wanted the pagan Romans thrown out of town. They wanted to be fed. They wanted lower taxes. That's what they wanted. And Ephesians 3:20 says what he did. Now to him who has by his power that is at work in us, able to carry out his purpose and do exceedingly abundantly above and far more than we dare ask or even imagine, more than our highest prayers, desires, hopes, or dreams. So Jesus is able to do more than you can imagine. And that's what he did for these people. Israel longing for a Messiah and now coming into Jerusalem, and it looks like things are about to happen. And if Jesus had asked the people, what do you want from me? They would have said, heal us, feed us, lower our taxes, take care of the Romans. But the answer would have been earthly, and it would have been far less than Jesus could do. Far less than he was going to do. He was going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that they could ask or think. When I'm praying, sometimes I think of this scripture and I'm saying, Lord, here's what I need you to do to fix earth for me. And that comes ringing in my ears. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you're asking for. You know, sometimes when you're hungry and you just say, Lord, give me a fish. And he says, I'm going to teach you to fish. And say, just give me a fish. Let's just do what I can think and ask for. My prayers are enough. But he does even more than that. So there was great disappointment when Jesus didn't fix their earthly life like they wanted him to, give them a few more good years on earth and solve their problems. What he did was fix eternity. He fixed them for the ages to come. The paradise that he's gone to prepare is far beyond anything that you can hope or imagine, far beyond anything we experience here on earth. Jesus left the Romans in place, but he defeated Satan. They weren't even focused there. That would have been too much to ask for. He destroyed sin. He gave us eternal life. And today, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Stay with this word able for just a minute. He is able. I don't think we have any concept of how big God is or how powerful he is. I have a hard time relating to the God that was before time and before there was matter and space in the world. But our God spoke and said, let there be light. And there was a big bang of incredible proportion. I don't know when it happened. Christian theologians discuss it happened in just 6 days and 6,000 years ago and made it look old, or it happened 13 and a half billion years ago, and I don't care. He did it. He spoke, and all are agreed there was a big bang. And light and matter came from one point. It's wrong to say in an instant, because this was the beginning of time. There was nothing, and suddenly there was everything. All of the atoms and the protons and everything that's today came into existence, and it was going fast. Light travels at 186,000 miles a second. That's 5.88 billion miles per year. And then the universe itself is 156 billion light years across. So light traveling 5.88 billion miles per year, and then 156 of those, 156 billion light years wide, you just can't go that far. You're going to get a bad headache if you try to grasp how big that is. Expanding that, we don't even know how big it is. There are billions of stars in our Milky Way. Billions. And then there are billions of galaxies. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it's not just how big it is. It's how little it is. You have DNA in you that's there just a few days after conception. There's a blueprint of how you're going to be, the color of your eyes and hair and all of that. And it's so miniaturized that, if there was a teaspoon of DNA, it would be all the DNA that's ever existed for all the species that will ever live on Earth. A teaspoon. But your DNA is so miniaturized that if it was stretched out end to end, it would go to the sun and back four times. Everybody got this, because there's going to be a test later. So you're going to have to get this down. That's our God. And he's love. God is love, one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. And he cares about us enough that he sent his only son to die for us and let him hang on a cross and suffer so we could be reconciled to God. Just, I can't imagine it, but I believe he's able to do what he said he would do, exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Your prayers, your expectations are way too low. Your prayers are way too small. You pray for earthly stuff. Jesus does more than you're asking for. His friend Lazarus was sick. Let's just take this as an example. Lazarus was sick. They sent for Jesus and said, your friend Lazarus is sick to the point of he may die. And Jesus didn't go. 4 days Lazarus was dead when Jesus finally arrived. Mary and Martha, the sisters that loved Jesus and loved their brother, and they went out and sort of nicely accused Jesus and said, if you had come, our brother wouldn't have died. It says Jesus even wept. And then he said, Roll the stone away. And they're saying, Lord, if you'd come, you might could have healed him. But let me tell you, he's been dead 4 days and he smells by now. And there's no sense in this. Roll the stone away. And then with a loud voice, it says, he called, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, wrapped up in these grave clothes that they wrapped bodies in back then, came out. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. So he did exceedingly abundantly above all that Mary and Martha could ask or think. Now here's what they know. If he had healed Lazarus, they'd think, this is wonderful, Jesus. We've got another 15 or 20 years. Life expectancy was in the 40s back then. Nobody lived to be very old. And I don't know how old Lazarus was when this happened, but they could say, Jesus has healed Lazarus, and so we've got a little more time with him. Let me tell you what they now know. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and he may die again, but we know there's life after death. And we've got an eternity with Christ. And so Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Jesus are going to spend eternity together. He heals people, but he also raises the dead. He fed 5,000 people one day, men plus the women and children. He did that with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I think if I had been a disciple looking at that little bit of fish and loaf that I had, I would have thought, oh, I hope this is enough to get me by a few people anyway. They picked up 12 baskets full. These are big baskets. When it was over, he's a superlative God. He does things in such a big way that it's way beyond what we can ask or think. You've been adopted by this King of the universe if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You're a joint heir with Christ. You're going to rule and reign with him forever. He's gone to prepare a place for you. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you ask or think. We're told that the sun will burn out. And that the universe may well collapse on itself into some gigantic black hole. But you and I are going to live longer than that. We're going to live until Jesus is exhausted. We're going to live until there is no God. And that's not going to happen. He is able. His power and his spirit is in us. And he's given us the gift of eternal life. I don't know that we're ever going to get earth right. We're told to pray for our government and pray for things here. And we certainly should. The government may stay in a mess. But Palm Sunday and Easter say that God is going to do even more than fix your life on earth. He's not going to just take care of your headache or take your pain away, but he's going to do more than that. So he encourages you to set your affection on things above, not just things of the earth. You're here in a period of training to get ready to rule and reign with Christ forever. This is a vapor that appears for a little while. It's not the real thing. Isaiah says, of the increase of his government, there will be no end. I don't know what that means. I was looking at some Hubble pictures this week, thinking about how far things are. Are there other places to go? And of the increase of his government, there will be no end. In fact, it says of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So how do we participate in that? I watch preachers on television when I realize that my bowel rhythm is in a straight line and I need to get agitated. They usually irritate me. And here's what they promise. Some of them are good. But they say, you know, God can fix your problems on earth. So focus there. If you'll send us $20, you could get $100 back. That's a pitiful little promise. He's going to give you eternal life and you're going for $100. It's not enough. He's going to do more than any of them are promising. How small and petty they make God's promises, it seems to me. Jesus didn't come just to get rid of your Romans. He didn't come just to fix your circumstances. He came to reconcile you to Almighty God, to fix your sin problem, to give you eternal life, to put himself in you. and to prepare a place for you that's beyond imagination. You can't think of how good it could be. And you know, I want to say, Lord, I got some DNA left over from Eden. I can imagine a paradise where you don't have to work hard, just kind of snip things and make it look good. And there's no stress, there's no tension, there's no fear, there's not even knowledge of good and evil. I can imagine a place where the tree of life is there. Lord, that sounds good. Just put me in a nice state park, or Whitestone's not bad. You know, just let us live in a place like this. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. You have no idea what he's got prepared for you. He's going to give you strength to go through the valleys. Continue to pray that he relieves your pain. Continue to pray that he fixes your circumstances that you're not happy with. That's appropriate. But when you get through with all those petty prayers about earth, set your affection on things above. Look up a little bit, and just in the night sky before it gets hazy this summer, think about what God is doing, preparing a place for us. He's going to give you the strength to go through your valleys, and then he's going to do even more than that. Romans, the 8th chapter, 31 and 32, says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If he spared not his own son, will he not freely give us all things? And I wanted to focus on he's able. You don't have to worry about that. People promise you things. And a fellow owed me some money one time, and I called him about it, and he said, I was going to pay you, but I have some capital constraints. I said, does that mean you have no money? He said, right. It sounded better to say capital constraints, I guess. There are people that promise things that they can't do, that they just don't have the ability to do. They want to do, but they can't. And I understand that, but God has made promises, and I want to assure you this God's big enough and powerful enough and strong enough and eternal enough that he can do what he said he's going to do. He's able according to the riches of his glory. So what's he got in store for you? Easter, if he wasn't resurrected, we'd be praying to a God to drive the Romans in our life out of our town. But there's more than that. Keep praying about your pain. Keep asking that your circumstances get fixed. But also pray that you'll glorify God by the way you live. Pray that God will some way work in your life where this time on earth prepares you for eternity with him. Great things are on the way. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verses 17 and 18, 19, just before this, says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have a power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's the prayer for you. Fix your life, get you a better job, fix your transmission. Yes, I'm for all of that. But let me tell you, he's fixing you for eternity. This Easter says he's going to do more than you even thought to ask him for. The disciples are just saying, stay with us a little longer. Mary and Martha are saying, just heal him. You know, if you had just showed up, he said, I can do more than that. And he can do more than you're asking in your life. Christ's love for you is broader than the universe. It's longer than time. It's higher than hope. And it's deeper than death. And he's got you in the palm of his hand, sheltering and protecting. And if he started a good work in you, you know what it says? It says he'll finish it. He's got the ability to do that. God is able. Don't let your prayers be too small. Don't let your conceptions of what God can do be just bound to earth. One final verse from 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, the Living Bible. And this, I think, this Easter morning is beyond our greatest hopes. We couldn't imagine what God was doing. The angels wanted to look into it and couldn't. But we have a concept today of an almighty God who sent his son to die for us because he loved us, and then he gives us eternal life. Listen to this. We're now members of God's own family, And God has reserved for his children the priceless gift of eternal life. It is kept in heaven for you, and God in his mighty power will make sure that you get there safely to receive it because you're trusting in him. What a promise. What's wonderful about this is I can now say, and what do you have to do? You know, there's a lot of promises out there, and here's what you're supposed to do to get those promises. With God, it's not real complicated. You need to believe that Jesus Christ came to die for your sins. You need to repent of your sins, and you need to let him make you white as snow, clothe you with the robes of his righteousness. We observe communion here every Sunday, and the purpose of that is to remind you that there was a covenant cut between a father and a son. You just were in Christ. You're included in the covenant if you want to be. And these elements of communion, a broken body, shed blood, say something was done for you and you're included. And now you have hope of eternal life. And this is a step of faith in saying, I believe what Jesus did for me counts for eternity and not just for little things in this life only. I'm going to give you an opportunity to celebrate Easter today, the eternal life that Christ has given us, and pray that the Lord will wash your sins away, prepare you this week for more of his kingdom, and focus you a little more on heaven. Let's pray.